Hello, this is Daryl War for the October 2019 podcast. I was questioning whether I should even name them updates anymore because there's so darn many. But you might be surprised, you lonely one listener, thinking you're the one lonely only. A lot of people repeatedly listen or download or whatever, tap all the old blah-de-blah podcasts that I do, so I might as well just keep doing them in between all the hard work that is going on. I'm not sure why that is. Presumably just a ton of people going out of their way to voluntarily choose something to gossip about. That's the thing. I didn't want to do all the advertising, but yeah, there's people just go out of their way. It's just ridiculous. I'm not laughing because it's good. I'm laughing because it's ridiculous. So, quite a few people just go over a lot of these old blotty blah shows. It's a little disappointing because it's supposed to be about the radio drama, The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, and not a whole lot of people are focusing on that. They're focusing, or maybe just sleeping, to what I'm saying. So, if you want to get in touch, my email address is xoiscythe@hotmail.com. And I have high doubts that anybody will bother because I've been doing this for years and years, and generally, it's rare anyone bothers. And usually when I put it out there, I'm getting nothing but spam and having to deal with that. Just all the nonsense. Yeah, not sure. I wanted to try and offer some solutions if you wanted to stop being a closet listener. Maybe coming to terms with how long you've been in the closet and what your experience being in the closet has been might help. Hopefully what you've heard, what I've relayed about Seamus's experience, my friend Seamus, will help. So any kind of personal addiction, maybe just confessing or talking about that, whichever, that might be a good start. Addiction to commercial social media and all the tricks and that kind of thing. And I wanted to go over also, I had that Halloween show, The Tandem is Back, that had the jack-o'-lantern on it. I actually pulled that because for a while I was getting these weird stats where somebody in one location was listening to it every day, and I just got the idea from the location that this was somebody who was focusing on one negative portion of it every single day and just allowing themselves to get angrier and angrier. And I just like, okay, I'm going to pull that one for now. But if anybody wants it back, that's another thing that you could relate to me if you send me an email or write me a letter or whatever, that maybe, because I liked The Tandem is Back. I thought it was really restful and upbeat, but I was getting no stats and they were bugging me, so I pulled it. But I still have my own copy to listen to. And I don't know if reintroducing it will change the date on it, because I believe that was from October of last year, 2018. You notice how everything's taking a whole lot longer? Have you noticed that? I don't know if anybody has. I think a majority of people have lost the sense of time completely. So that's what a lot of this new technology is taking away. You think, oh, this is going to be faster, it's going to be quicker. And it used to be, even with those slow modems sometimes, it really could be. And yeah, now everything's taken forever because there's so much time wasting implemented into the system. Kind of an oxymoron of what the internet was supposed to be. It's like, oh, we'll save time and we'll share information. Now it's all about rumors and speculation and gossip and total time wasting. Total time wasting. But yeah, that's pretty much why hiding out and gossiping isn't helpful. If you're getting up in arms when you have no morals, you know, help out Daryl maybe a little bit and be honest and forthright. Yeah, if you don't have any morals or ethics, I don't even see how being offended makes any sense at all. I mean, what do you have to be offended by? You're not being ethical either, not being helpful, not being honest, and not being direct. And I know some people don't want to be direct because I got a lot of negativity, and I reacted very negative to it. Surprise, surprise. So, yeah, figure out how to word things where they're going to be clear and to the point and positive and friendly and not angry and negative, and not worth my time. Which, there was somebody I was going to get in touch with soon that told me she referred to Tumblr, and I was making friends with her, boy, it made me feel better. She said Tumblr was the nastiest social media site on the face of creation. She had so much just awful experiences with that particular one. And I deleted my account. I got rid of all the garbage there and just left something else behind. But what was funny is this friend that I made in the last few years, I mentioned after we had established that Tumblr was the nastiest social media site on the face of creation, as she described it, I told her about going to Reddit, and she was even more appalled. She was like, oh, you know, and her reaction to that reminded me of that wonderful line in The Golden Girls, where Stan is just doing, you know, the worst he could possibly do, as Stan Zbornak is known to do. And Dorothy tells him, Stan, I used to think you were the scum of the earth. I have now downgraded my opinion. And so my friend asked, you know, who was so disgusted, she asked me, well, oh man, who sent you to Reddit? And I'm like, one of my cousins. Things were just not working out for ages and ages. And one of my cousins said, try Reddit. And I did. So if anybody has enjoyed being negative and angry about me using Reddit for a little while, you can thank my cousin. Because at this point, yeah, just enjoying negativity and enjoying being outraged. And so I was going to say you could blame him, but no, you can thank him. Because apparently you've just been so into negativity that, yeah, talk about just more wastes of time. So if you think I'm oh so terrible and in the way, well, all of these different areas to go online, that was the advice everyone was steering me towards. Invited to waste my time when I'd committed my time to something completely different. So if you see or hear all these complaints about me, guess what? I prefer this being for pen pals and letter writers and only sharing it with a selective few. That's why it does better that way. Sharing on the commercial sites and pushing to share more and more in so many websites, all that did was create more gossip and fools complaining when they could have gotten in touch directly. Sad, too, what with the continual repetition I found, even with a few pen friends, of how everything is so good and sharing online is working and high stat numbers are a great thing, when they had no idea what my back history of this project has been. The quick assumption that mirrors how I was treated in 2014 with ideas it's all working out when it isn't. It just shows how easily people can be manipulated by a ton of these commercial web companies. So yes, I get much, much, much better response and rapport with those who can sustain long-term correspondence in letter writing and lengthy phone calls. More solid friendships have emerged with those who don't cater to the quick fix or what is presumed easier, quote-unquote. A lot of book readers, too, and preference for longer focus. And they also recognize that many social networks are the least reliable source in the world. The least reliable. They don't go looking for answers on those networks first at all. They go to the source if they can. And in this case, the source is me. So, yeah. What I was seeing when I was trying to find enough pen friends was just all these hits to all these places, and it's like, why are you going there? You're talking to me directly. Why are you... And then, of course, people feel guilty because we know that that's kind of like snooping, going somewhere where you're getting misinformation or you're getting gossip or whatever. I mean, you realize it after you've already done it because we're so hooked to thinking this is where the reliable source is. And it's not a reliable source because it's inundated with all of these tricks to garble your mind anyway. Yeah, that was a big mistake. But then again, I made that big mistake, but that was what I was advised to do. Yeah, it was bad advice. And what I like to go back to when we think of previous forms of advertising and previous tricks to either get your money or grab you or whatever, was something my auntie said about something she was experiencing through Twitter. It was like a game or something, and she just found herself using it way too often, and she's like, oh, they sure know how to get you. And I kind of lit up because I was like, I remember that phrase. They sure know how to get you. From older people who talked about their experience getting either hoodwinked or immersed in some sort of advertisement or commercial or some product or something. Yeah, they sure know how to get you. That was the way we worked it out with any kind of self-loathing. Hand it to the tricksters. They sure know how to get you. It's good. I feel that it just made things easier when I heard her say that. Again. So, yeah, 21's taken forever. I mean, I look at all the tracks that I did. You know, the advice to work harder, well, I did it, and now it's taken so much longer to put together an episode, and I know there's all kinds of lines I have to do over when I hear them. Yeah, there's just all this extra work involved. And I just not feeling it sometimes. I'm just like staring like, oh, I'd rather just play a video game or something. Just get my mind off of all the horrible treatment. So not only horrible treatment to me, but how everybody got manipulated into believing that it was the right way to treat me or the right way to treat a whole lot of other people. I mean, there's a lot of friendships and relationships that have been torn apart by this commercial technology. It totally is true. You'll notice that some of those podcasts I've been suggesting to you, some of them have commercials. I don't. If you hear a commercial, I didn't put it there. Okay? I am not a commercial venture. I'm only looking for people who are interested. And this is all coming out of my pocket, or my husband and my pocket, dual venture. It's homegrown. It's grassroots. It's not commercial, other than advertising for some of these old 60s shows, which should be considered very innocent by this time. But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on with 21 and trying to get 22, the script started, for that. You know, it's funny, with how nasty and extreme and outraged it feels on the social media with Dark Shadows fans. It's like you flip on the show. I was writing to O'Sheen about this. You flip on the show after all that, and it's almost like a new age relaxation tape. It's like the show itself is the healing you need from having to go to a social network or something and, you know, arguing with all these people and seeing their just erroneous concoctions of what is even going on. Just watching the show. So just trying to realign, all right, you know, because I have to figure out the Turn of the Screws storyline and then the Chris Jennings werewolf storyline. And that's another problem that with Amy Jennings, it's like sometimes she's getting possessed by the ghosts or whatever the game is with David. And then there are other times where Chris is really important. So, I mean, this poor girl, this is not real life, but this poor girl, if it was real life, would just be stressed to the gills. Wiped out. And I forgot, too, you know, when I watch the show, I just come up with all these ideas of different things that could be said or little heckles that's like, I'll just add that. Somebody could say that. You just thought it, but somebody could say that. And also, throughout The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, sometimes there were heckles by my husband that I just had it in as I was reading him the script or as he was watching the show. And it's like, hey, can I use that? Yeah, honey. Sure. But the recent stuff was in the mid-600s, maybe mid to late 600s. With Madame Finley, and I was trying to get myself to go, okay, so we have saved Mr. Wells, and we're just going to allow for maybe Chris Jennings to keep on, you know, that'll just keep working for a little while until people figure out where he's coming from and be able to take him somewhere that's going to be safer. But then there's the barmaid, more or less a red shirt, can let her go, because that, you know, makes the point of there's a problem. But a little more sadness will be involved, a little more despair of, oh dear. And maybe a tiny, tiny bit of back history, somebody concerned. But I realized, oh, well, who's next? And I know there was a friend of Carolyn's. I'm almost thinking maybe we should just dismiss that. Or, you know, maybe we'd see that friend of Carolyn's like once and it'd be like, okay. Because I remember that friend of Carolyn's, she got a crush on Chris Jennings. And then she was blaming herself. I always pick the winners. Something, I don't know if she said it that way, but that was basically a sarcastic, I always pick the winners. And maybe just have her skip town, maybe have it really brief, or just not have her at all. And there was, in the original Dark Shadows, there was something going on with Joe Haskell, and I was like, you know, I feel like I have saved Joe Haskell just by virtue of him not being involved. Like, it just skipped down. And it was good, too, to rewatch a little bit of that, because he admitted to Maggie, yeah, I treated you terribly. It's like, thank you! And I remember discussing a little bit of that with Lisa, where it's like, yeah, there it is, he admitted it! It was true, and Maggie was trying to be cool, as she is known to do. It's like, well, let's just be friends, come on, I don't want to dwell on the negative past. Just, let's carry on. But, yeah, I was thinking that would be kind of good, to, if Joe is still around, he's kind of packing to head out, because he doesn't want to be around the failed relationship with Maggie and that kind of thing. Yeah, by virtue of not being there, we have saved Joe Haskell. Just get him out of the way. But after that, the next save would be Madame Finley. So I was sort of given that idea of, okay, if you're not sure, Daryl, where to go, always look at, well, who's the next save until you run out of saves. You know, save, quote-unquote, rescued, more just kind of given the chance to not die or not get messed up or not get killed off. And I was thinking, you know, it was funny because when we had episode 18, Braving the Waters, Sam was the one who kind of came in to help Mr. Wells not die, and I'm thinking he was one of the earlier saves, if not the first save. So it's almost like, you know, passing it forward, that saying, pass the favor forward. And so I was wondering, yeah, maybe I should have Madame Findlay come into town and Mr. Wells just giving her a warning. I know she's always like, don't tell me anything. I don't want to be influenced. And perhaps having Mr. Wells also pay it forward to Madame Findlay. But I don't know. But my idea was, you know, I'm just going to let you know, don't let the ghosts at the house, like, don't let them scare you. Because I know they will try. That's what he's heard. I just want to let you know. But that's just kind of a funny idea. I don't know if I'll use it. We'll see. Because that's way ahead for what I'm working on now. 21 is, we're still establishing, is there a werewolf in town? If there is it Chris Jennings? We're getting these signs. And then what's going on and trying to get the ghost stuff started with Quentin and Beth's ghost and the seance and da 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 da. And it's difficult, too, because when I watch the original Dark Shadows, it's all this extra stuff that I've already dealt with Victoria and Peter Bradford. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I was also thinking, well, maybe Barnabas could have a dream that he went to the past to help Victoria and kind of establish, well, that's kind of part of who you are, you know, to go and do these things that are really generous and helpful and caring. Because to me, that established there was more caring going on with him and Victoria's, for him to go out of his way and want to help her and want to help Peter Bradford, all that stuff going on. But in the pit, no. But it makes it difficult for me to watch the show when there's all the stuff that I don't have to deal with that I've already established as solved. So with Madame Findlay, we're sort of gearing her up with my ideas there that, like Roger in episode 7, he sees one of the villains, which would be Nicholas Blair, and he's unfazed, almost bored. So we're trying to gear up Madame Findlay to go in that direction. And she may be equally so unfazed, almost bored, due to the humor wafting towards her from her redesign experience in a more humorous Collinsport. And I was thinking with her, because I saw Elizabeth Stoddard working with Madame Findlay a little bit, and I'm like, well, this is gone. Well, what would Roger do? And of course, I come up with this stuff just knowing Roger Collins. He'll say what he has to say. Because I think Professor Stokes actually gets Madame Findlay involved. So that would be kind of coming from his direction, but Roger would kind of be like, okay, whatever, let's just do what we do. But I had this idea that, you know, with all the knocking going on, that Madame Findlay tries to get answers from the ghosts, that Roger could kind of come back after he's escorted her into the drawing room and just be like, do you usually get ghosts to talk to you with Morse code? Because he hears all that. So that was one of my ideas. And they just kind of fly around when I'm watching the show. So yeah, the good pen pal stuff I wanted to go over a little bit. One of my most cherished pen friends. We were getting excited over the new Halloween stamp, which I got my batch, but in her letter, which is number of days, if not a week and a half old, you know, I ordered them, looking forward to, you know, seeing them. And the Silhouette Halloween stamps, they actually shimmer a little like those iridescent ones from a while back that my husband was really keen on. And, of course, you can't see that on a screen or through a photo, because the shimmery effect, yeah, that's not something that really picks up well with photography. So, what you see is plain in the photos for the Halloween Silhouette stamps. That's not what they look like. It is what they look like, but it also doesn't have that shimmery effect that you will get if you look at them. And pen friend also, a little good pen friend news. It's kind of old, but it doesn't matter to me. Watching House of Dark Shadows, boy. Comments. I love the comments because it was really just observing things, and this is very strange. And I'd love to actually read the whole thing of her notes when she was enduring the movie by herself. One of the highlights for me was near the end where they have all that dry ice in House of Dark Shadows. She's like, oh, now we seem to be on a misty island. Yeah, it does kind of feel that way. Somehow. Really. One amazing highlight with a lot of the pen friends that are really working out for me. They're so worried their news is boring. And I just, oh my gosh, yeah. Bring on the mundane, please. I have had too much stress. I've had too much of the extremism over everything and what Tristan Harris calls outrageification. Perfect word for it. Yeah, please. Mundane. Bring it forward. Want to hear all of just the everyday life stuff.
completely. So helpful.
Yeah.
Because I've been recognizing that a lot of the tragedy in everybody needing to be a critic over entertainment, so then it becomes there's no escapism anymore. Nothing to enjoy. That how it built up. Another pen friend was describing to me a video someone put together where they'd mapped it out pretty good, where it just became satire, and then it became serious, and then everybody wanted to do it, and just blew up, and then we get the reward systems with the dopamine rush and the happy buttons that, you know, saying the nastiest thing you know how to say just to get rewards. It really is sick. And that's why I can't use any negative commentary that just is flown at me. It's not helpful. And a lot of it is nonsensical. I mean, it's just part of protecting the group think. Things like, reincarnation doesn't exist. Well, depends on your belief system for one thing, and two, we're working with fiction here, so who cares? I mean, what about vampires, werewolves, ghosts, and all those other things, and satanic possession, all that stuff? Reincarnation doesn't exist. Well, what about all the other things? That's not a criticism, that's just some sort of empty rhetoric to protect the groupthink when it has nothing to do with a work of fiction. That's completely different. Yes, there are some people who have experiences. I am not one of them, and I hope to keep it that way. I've had my whimsical ideas, of course, haven't we all? But no. Just doing the studying and the research and all that stuff. Been doing that for the werewolf story stuff. And that's a trip, too, because some of the stuff that I find for the werewolf, I mean, they discuss it like it is real. And you have a hard time going, well, did the writer really believe it? Or are they playing around? Or what's going on? Just try to entice you to bring you more into the escapism by saying the werewolf stuff is true or behaving like it is. It's hard to suss out sometimes. But the main thing that I wanted to get to was the constant critiquing, quote-unquote critiquing. It's really just, that's what I called it, bash culture. It's bashing. Because it's just looking for flaws, looking for flaws, looking for flaws. And I'm thinking, boy, if people are this focused on the negative and picking out the flaws and pulling stuff apart, you make a great factory worker. You know, just have your social life on a conveyor belt already. Why not treat all the entertainment like factory work? You just kind of become an empty automaton, just regurgitating all this emptiness and all this negativity. And it doesn't show that the person knows the difference between fiction and reality. And that's the saddest part, because for everything that's happened with me, it really is a mind blow, because we were watching Dark Shadows on our own. So we were not affected by any kind of DS groups or things that Lisa had been exposed to for years, giving way to the non-canon ideas, whether it was romances or whatever that didn't add up. So we weren't affected except for watching the original Dark Shadows and a little of the 91 revival. That was our main knowledge, was the source material and some of Sarah Monster's creations. Just focusing on the original with some heckles and the content about the original characters. We didn't have any need to approve of things in a group. We were on our own with an older version of the internet and the original episodes of Dark Shadows. No group. Therefore, no group think. That was our exposure. And yeah, we were online about that time. Just a little bit. We had the internet, but it was more of the computer savvy people who were using it. Every once in a while, you'd get somebody tossing out nonsense. And we knew how to deal with it. But then they invited everybody with this, you know, higher grade technology that's so easy to use. And then it was everywhere. And like I said, in September, trying to digest the information with the way the world used to work and the way that people used to behave. There weren't that many people online not that long ago. So the behavior of, okay, somebody's being rude like it used to be, it was once in a while. But then everybody was sort of just trying to pretend it didn't matter when it's like over half the populace of the internet. It wasn't helpful. No, you can't just pretend it doesn't exist. It's going to go away. It's not somebody to just approve of by ignoring. No. But yeah, with the all I have to do is pick out the flaws, all I have to do is criticize this, make a great factory worker. Totally. Because that's pretty much what a lot of them do all day, is the same thing over and over and over, and looking for flaws on the conveyor belt. That's all they do all day. So if you want to be an automaton, that's fine. That's your choice. I've informed you.
of how that looks. But yeah, I know it's tough to get off that stuff. I still have residual effects, and I'm seeing more and more people go over to it. Going back to the pen pal thing, one of the zine runners got in touch with me. She's unfortunately getting whisked into the nonsense too, and I read her a letter recently, and I let her know, do as little as possible, because yeah, you're getting the negativity, and she wrote this to me. I wish more people shared your view of unplugging and sticking to snail mail. Just letting her know that, yeah, the negativity is bleeding out. So even though she's starting to use that, I mean, there's only so much she can do. I was like, no, I came to being a member of your PenFriend project because I had to get out. I'm the living proof that this stuff is nonsense and we need to continue onward. Because there's quite a few PenFriend zines that were going down. I think the letter exchange, we had an ad put in the letter exchange, and that was always pretty crapshoot, just because you had to go through so much to even reach anyone, and by the time you reach them, would they hang on? For me, not very often. I do still have one, though. But he's more by email now, and that was a long time ago that we started writing to each other. But yeah, that was very disappointing with the letter exchange. You know, I don't wish them any malice at all. It's just that, yeah, we put the ad in. The online numbers flew up, and I never received a single letter. The online numbers flew up in that time that that ad was distributed. But no, nobody emailed, nobody wrote to me. So, very big disappointment with sharing with the letter exchange. And let me be clear here, because I really appreciate Gary and Lana keeping the letter exchange going, because it's a rarity to keep any pen pal zine going, just like the one I've been talking about too. Yeah, they were very good to me and very good to us for getting that ad placed in 2014. It just didn't amount to anything. And that was not the fault of the letter exchange at all. It was the unfortunate response to people who saw the ad, where the online numbers went up and not getting a letter. But I definitely appreciate keeping pen pal zines going. I definitely appreciate everybody. The letter exchange, Letter Writers Alliance, League of Extraordinary Pen Pals, even though there's a lot of pressure to join their Facebook groups, but all this stuff. I appreciate it so much. It's just that, like in most of this podcast, the pressure to garner our personal lives towards these commercial factories, more or less, these commercial social casinos, I mean, it's just ridiculous. So thank you very much, Gary and Lana of the Letter Exchange. Yeah, that was the unfortunate result of putting an ad there and trying to find an alternative to what's going on right now. But anyway, so a lot of these zines, I think the letter exchange is still around, and that's good. But with the other zine runner, she's feeling the negativity because she's opened herself up to these nodules of awful advice. It's like, no, it's not going to help. These are commercial systems. You are not a commercial system. She put in her letter from the editor, reminders, as if she had to. This is something that I mostly pay for, and it's a hobby. And I'm sorry that so many people have been complaining. And it's like, well, either they're complaining because you brought it to social media, or they're complaining because they're using social media too much. And that's not the point. But, you know, I'm just trying to do good by everybody, let them know what my experience is and what choices are involved. And that's another scary thing, too, is that I went looking for the rebels and the creative types and people into goth culture, which is very mixed, because everybody, even in that subgenre, there are particular interests. But even so, reaching out to people who were rebellious or counterculture, even they're locked in to what's going on with this new technology, what's going on with the commercial social media. And that was horrifying, and it still is horrifying to me. It's like, oh, all the types of individuals that I felt were incredibly reliable, that would be like, no, that would be saying no, they can't fool me. And then there they are. And what's scarier is coming up with justifications for the behavior. It's like contradictions of what is, but they're doing the opposite. One example would be somebody who is writing me letters, and still is, and she's like, oh, it's too bad that letter writing's a lost art. She's written that in a letter, fully formed, good penmanship, and she's writing down that it's a lost art. To write back, how could you say it's a lost art if that's what you're doing? How can you say nobody does it anymore if that's what you're doing? I mean, you've been to the pen pal sites. You know there's thousands of people, at least thousands, continuing to do this. And that's just in English. Okay? No idea how the rest of the non-English speaking world or less English speaking world is handling all this. So yeah, you're saying no one does this as you're doing it. That is the scariest. The counterculture and rebels going along with a status quo, telling each other to adapt when they started out as, no, I don't want to adapt to the status quo. I want to be different. Well, then they go just line up on the conveyor belt along with everybody else. It's been really difficult to find the people who don't cater to that. It's been quite scary, but thank heavens to find the people that know. And they've had very interesting reasons for not going along with it. And in odd cases that are harder to reach, they're not going along with it because they can't afford the equipment. I'm not going to pay for this. And that was the funny thing. People are like, well, you got to get a smartphone, Daryl. I'm like, you're going to pay for it? And that's when it stops. You're going to pay for it. All this pressure to do these things that are really expensive. And some people go along with it, but there are those of us that don't because we can't afford it. We don't have the money. Just flinging around all this expensive stuff. Raising people, that's really expensive. Giving birth to them, very expensive to get it done in a healthy way. Getting a car, incredibly expensive. And yeah, getting a smartphone. Don't have the money. And don't want it anyway. And you know, it's so funny that so much of this peer pressure has to do with spending cash. Very interesting, isn't it? But our friend Seamus, that I've mentioned before, he keeps enjoying the episodes. And either once a week or every 2 weeks, it's been nice just to chat with him about it. Just what his experience has been. And it's really interesting for him. And it's like, yeah, just let it kind of feed through. Just like let it play. Don't worry too much about having to tell me what, because something will just come up. I mean, it's so chunky, everything. And he was actually talking to me about episode 1, in which Barnabas is not sure how to say to Wadsworth when he received the letter. And I'm like, yeah, that was definitely on purpose. I forgot about it, but it was definitely on purpose because he is still a vampire in episode 1. And so as far as how somebody would naturally, like a basic human, this morning, I got your letter this morning, but Barnabas being a vampire, he wouldn't get it in the morning because he'd be in his coffin in the morning. So then he wants to correct that by saying, this evening. He thinks that'll give him away as a vampire. Then he says, today. That's why it works that way. And Seamus picked up on that. He's like, he's not sure when he got the letter. Well, no, he got it in the evening, but he said morning because that's the standard time that you would receive the mail if you were a basic human being, getting up in the morning. But he gets up in the evening, so he starts to say evening to correct himself, and then he realizes that's giving him away as a vampire, possibly. So he just says, today. And then I said, I'm still fixated on the, how do you know about this house? Better Homes and Gardens. He's like, oh gosh, well, yeah, it is so chunky. It's just, because I figured my expectation, sharing the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows radio drama, was having about 25 people, and everybody would just, like Clueflands, throw in something. It would just be, you know, I'd see maybe however many people were enjoying it by what they would respond to, and it wouldn't have had to be a whole lot. And then I was just getting nothing but silence. And then as I uncorked all the other problems that are going on in the world right now, as at least with who I'm in contact with or who is, you know, hiding and being a closet fan, all that, it's like, all right, this is so bad. Everything that I've seen, I was told go to these social media sites, these commercial ones, not knowing it's a big, 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 big commercial, and all the tricks that they were using that I've had better explained to me through humanetech.com. But at the same time, as I was developing the Q&A system, because it was just like, we got to get this back. We got to get the linear back. I got to know what people liked. And if we have this much time to spend together, because everybody else is just wasting their lives away on this other stuff, let's see if we can increase the attention span by going through each episode in a linear fashion. And that's why people have book clubs, because they try to go through things the same way. That's how the Q&A became important, because the attention span had shrunk so much that I needed to find some way to expand it, at least for the people who were interested in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. And so far, so good. Some people have been like, oh, too much like homework. It's like, well, this is the thing that kills me about the critiquing and stuff. It's like, how can you be high and mighty when you're not really showing any intelligence here? I mean, I got people who don't use the Q&A, and they just tell me what they like. I remember Oisin, she was like, well, I need the Q&A. You never needed the Q&A. Come on. Why did you are you in that much of a hurry you forgot you knew how to do this automatically? You listen to the episode, you go to the script, you tell me what you like. You've always done that. Almost always, anyway. But that was how it was working out. And but other people, yeah, because they have their own way of going about it, because they didn't lose touch with their own way of going about it, having built that from what they had previously learned in going in a linear fashion and just kind of going through and explaining. The other thing that I really like is one pen pal who is able to do that. She likes to write, and she shared some of her own fiction with me. And she looks at discussing the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows episodes as practice in writing prompt. She welcomes it. She also loves radio drama, so that was a good thing to discover, too. Again, whether you're doing the Q&A or not doing the Q&A, asking me direct questions about this, that, and the other thing really helps. Somebody wasn't sure what the importance of Sarah was, and I put that on thepitofultimatedarkshadows.wordpress.com for episode 10, why it's a big deal that she's returned, who she is, because I had to tell Pen Pal about that. So I thought, well, why don't you put that up in the WordPress version of episode 10? And that was a good summary. But yeah. So we're just developing a way to heal from the nonsense, even if it is a small portion of the community. And that's why I did For You, the podcast For You, because I was saying, this is so important that I just want you to do it by yourself. Just to try to churn out something where you possibly are enjoying a little isolation, where you don't feel the need to share all your personal private stuff with the world. That's another thing. Everybody's getting so lonely because the human touch is not there. And so they feel the need to share all this personal stuff that they would never share before just to get a little attention. Just a little bit. So I have people starving for the human touch. And the way to handle it, yeah, and I was there too doing these desperate things like that. But I saw other friends starting to do that. And it's like, oh man, come on. Call me on the phone. And Jonah would do that. You know, he'd see that and he would be like, okay, I got to call this person on the phone because this is, you know, he had a good enough conscience to know, oh, that doesn't look good. A better telephone. So, yeah. And let me know if you're listening to this. I wasn't meaning to do it. I'm still working on those other three podcasts. I just felt the need to let you know because everybody just keeps listening to the Blotty Blahs. They like hearing me talk, I guess. If it helps you get to bed at night, that'd be great to find out. We are trying to move away from any kind of focus on the negative at this juncture. And yeah, that was what I was going to leave off. Seamus, he keeps enjoying the episodes. But that is great because he lets me talk to him about the shows more because he hasn't listened to them before. And that helps me so much because I do love The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows a lot. I mean, it got me out of so much grief. It gave me so much grief, but it got me out of so much grief. And hopefully we'll continue to do so. Just telling him the stories in between everything, whether it's episodes he's got and listened to or episodes he hasn't, and just seeing how everything blends together because they're really tightly knit. I think that's part of it because what did I say in the beginning? One good deed sets off another good deed. And it really is a wonderful expression of how everything is interrelated. Because if you didn't have this one component, then later on, this other component wouldn't have happened. But if you want something fun and Halloween-y from me, on Fiction Press, there is Bloody Mary's Delight. That was one of the things that I put out there ages ago, which I think is on the interview that Sumiko took of me. That's on the previous WordPress, not the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, but just pitofultimatedarkshadows.wordpress.com. There was like the interview with Daryl War. And I think I put the Earl for Bloody Mary's Delight in the interview. But yeah, that is on Fiction Press. Bloody Mary's Delight has a wonderful twist ending. Because I was looking through ghost stories. And of course, the Alvin Schwartz collection is one of the best for me. Because they have kind of a hook, like a Zen Koan has a hook. Something that kind of like throws you off or is a little unexpected, but works together. There's a lot of that's based on, you know, urban legends. Friend of a friend told me. And with Bloody Mary's Delight, I was going through Bloody Mary stories and they were just not cutting it for me. So I was like, all right, well, I'll put something together that's going to work. That has that little hook on the end. And one of the things Helena didn't put in her review, but she told me personally was, oh, that Mary, she liked what she saw. So anyway, for what it's worth, happy Halloween, and you all take care. And if you would like to defer the perpetual state of alienation to me, I think you could start off in an email to me with how long you have been a closet fan. to the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows podcast and Radio Drama. A closet fan to Daryl War. Express how long you've been a closet fan, who you are, possibly why you became a closet fan, and maybe why you couldn't decide how to tell me what you liked. Maybe that could be the start of your interaction with me by email. That's about all I can think of at this point to help you. If you're listening and aren't in touch with me already, yes, you are a closet fan, a closet listener. You are in the closet, and I think you'd like to come out of that closet by now. So, write to xoiscythe at hotmail.com. Get in touch when you can, if you can.